You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860. As you know, we serve the entire tri-state area of southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, and also the entire world by going to the internet and clicking on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. When you get on the site, just click on the Listen Live link, or you can listen anytime by going to the Listen Live link as well. Also, I wanted to thank you for all your good wishes for our efforts during 2017. I think Rich Loges said a very good statement in one of his texts, and I'm going to call on Rich and Mark and everybody to have a few of their thoughts, and I'm going to go right to that today. But first, before I do that, I want to say that during 2018, we're all going to work to encourage America's businesses to highlight on their labels and also on their packaging, on the items that they make and assemble in America, that they are made in the USA. As I'm getting cards from people, as I'm getting different gifts, even all my new ties for Christmas, all had the Made in the USA symbol. One was just absolutely outstanding from Brooks Brothers with a little American flag on it. And boy, this is the way business can really be grown here in the USA. As always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, and then sit back, relax, and enjoy. We're going to have a lot to say. This is a new year, a lot of new ideas. I want to first of all say a thank you to Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. He's been an unbelievable pusher for American Made over the last 8 years. And Mark, congratulations on your endless triumph. I remember when I started the commentaries back in 1999, people thought I was a little loony too, that I was saying things like, oh, we better start focusing on America. Here we are, all these years later, continuing with the message, and now the message is more meaningful than ever. I want to also say thanks to Larkin Conley, small business advocate and SCORE mentor, Rich Loges, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. And I want to also thank Curtis Ellis, who you know has been an executive director of the American Jobs Alliance for some time. He's also in the media on YouTube. You just click on Curtis Ellis and boy, you'll see a lot of information about him. Mr. Ellis is also an advisor to President Trump, and I hope that he will continue to promote our ideas, because I feel 2018 is going to be a very good year for all of us, and we can make it a success simply by directing our words, our actions, and our dollars to support American Made. But first, I would like to say that we are going to turn for the first remarks of this New Year show to the ever-popular Rich Loges. Rich, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy New Year. What a year 2017 was in the books, historic year. You know, I want to tell you guys something. Michael, I'm going to world premiere something right now for everyone. Good morning to you guys and our listeners. I'm going to world premiere this. I got my hands on a copy of the Democratic Party's 2017 and 2018 New Year resolutions. I got it. I can't tell you where I got it from, though. So the Democrats' 2017 New Year's resolutions were as follows. Number one, impeach a legally elected president for no good reason. Number two, destroy the lives and businesses of those with whom they disagree. And number three, continue to socially engineer our youth into America-hating lovers of socialism. That was 2017. And I just got a copy of the 2018 resolutions. You know what it says? See 2017. I got it, Curtis. It's right here. Did you guys see, you know, I'm convinced, Michael, I can't prove it to you guys, but I am convinced that Hillary Clinton, you know, she's still paying staff from the billion and a half, that $1.5 billion of campaign contributions that her campaign received. She's still paying staff. Politics, what a business, what a business. And I'm convinced there's a few people that whisper in her ear every day, you know, Hillary, you have to keep putting out social media tweets. You know, just keep putting feelers out there. See if people want you to make an encore, you know, in 2020. And she wrote a tweet yesterday talking about how families across America started the new year wondering if their kids would have health care, and the Republican agenda is donor-driven and immoral. So I wrote back out, Michael, and actually I'm getting some attention on this one. I said, Secretary Clinton, you know what makes me worried about our kids? How your party continues to socially engineer our youth into gender-fluid, America-hating worshipers of socialism. Perhaps you could write a foreword to my upcoming book, 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat. Can you imagine that? 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat by Ritz Loges, forward by Hillary Rodham Clinton. Here's the only problem with doing that, though, Michael. I wouldn't sell a single copy. Once her name's on the book, done. I won't sell a copy. Her own husband didn't buy her book. I said in 2016 with the Democrat media industrial complex, they're not stupid. They knew that they couldn't make the American people like Hillary Clinton. Not even her own husband likes her. So what did they try to do? Make you fear and loathe and hate the other guy.
Interesting. Well said. It's a very interesting point.
That's what they did, but unsuccessfully, Michael.
But you know, Rich, I want to tell you something. Everywhere I go, people told me they are tired of the media and all the negativity. We talk more common sense on this broadcast than you hear day after day in the media. How much more can we hear and digest and listen to over and over the same rigmarole? She did this and the Russia and all. The most biggest entertainment that I had this morning is people were talking in the Wawa that they cannot wait till Monday to see how President Trump is going to give those awards out for the media, for the fake media. They want to see that. And I thought, wow, isn't that unbelievable? So I started talking about American made and, you know, let's highlight the labels. And people said, I am seeing more American labels than I ever did. And I'm really pleased that this is happening in America. Done. All this with these people, Mrs. Clinton and Mitt Romney and all, it's over. We have to honor the president who is in office right now. It would be so degrading to President Obama or President Bush or President Clinton at the time to have them degraded, you know, constantly in the office. Let's try to work together and see what can be done. When you look at the list of accomplishments that have happened in the USA in the last year, it's really remarkable. But the press does not want to do that because, as the old saying says, bad news sells, not good news. With that, I'm going to turn to Mark. Mark, how are you doing?
Great, great, Mike. Happy New Year's, Mike, Rich, Larkin. And, you know, just great, Mike, what a run we had. Again, we're up in Buffalo. I'm sure you've seen us on World News. And it's. I think we're going to hit 17 today. It's our high. So, Rich.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we've been, you know, our snow, but for our snow model, our bottle of business, it's great, but very tough on people up here. The cold's, we're going to have a high of -1 Friday, and zero's been the high. So very cold and snowy. I love snow. I love snowmobile, and I love the outdoors. So I'm happy, and our business loves snow. So very, very good up here. Tough run, though. Very cold. We haven't seen this type of cold in a long time, Mike. But, you know, what a run we had 2017. A lot of challenges, a lot of obstacles. But I truly believe the country's confidence is coming up. You know, Donald Trump changed my life because the oil and mining regulations were dropped. The military got money. Our business is moving forward in our industries, and it's just that's just a fact. But retail was even up last year, announced on World News and across the country. I think consumer confidence is up, Mike. I want to tell the listeners thank you for believing in your show, the American Workers Radio Show, our team. Listening, I truly believe, guys, we're making a difference. We need to be fired up 2018. Rich, I see you are, you know, still rocking and rolling. And Made in America matters. I tell everybody, do their part. Like Larkin says, get engaged. Don't just criticize. I believe the more positive we are, the more engaged we get with discipline and care. There's truly nothing we can't accomplish as a country, as one team together.
You know, you're right, and everybody is talking about it now. In fact, I want to compliment even some of the food producers. They are even putting it on their steamable products, 100% made and grown in the USA. This is what we have to do. A lot of the products were being brought in from other parts of the world, but now a lot of our producers are trying to do things here in the USA to help our farmers, you know, put the stuff on the market, and they're putting 100% made in the USA, grown in the USA. I think it's great.
And, Mike, I want to say one thing. My son, Jake, bought me something for Christmas, sent it to me. Came a few days late, but it was a set of All-American Clothing Company jeans. And you open that package up. I just opened it last night. It's an All-American Clothing Company out of Ohio. But it says handcrafted with pride in the USA. And it tells about the employees. All the employees sign this thank you card. You know, for choosing them, we truly help, you know, continue their livelihoods. And there was four different cards. It's, another one says handcrafted with pride in the USA. But, boy, what a great feeling. Now, we carry Texas Jeans, a great company, but this All-American Clothing Company, they take pride in their work. They know what it's about to support the farmers that make the cotton all the way to the person that puts this, you know, these beautiful, it's fine jean clothing. And I was very impressed. But when you open something like that, now it wasn't from our store, so I was even more impressed, and I think my son suggested we carry it. So it was just awesome to see how much care went into this package and this product.
Well, that's what it's all about. And Mark, you know yourself from the various packaging that you put out and the demand that everything be 100%, including the bag that it's in with the staple and everything else. We have to get America's manufacturers to do something special beginning right away. Put the American flag, put red, white, and blue, highlight the fact that it's made in the USA. This is the thing, and then it'll help move it on the market. It'll be an eye catcher. People have got the message. We have to support America first.
But they put, you know, Americans, and you support the country you live in, like we always talk about. You put the love and care into that product, and, you know, like our box, when you open it, you get the small American flag, you get our story, you get the product. But that was put together with love and care and pride. And they love their country, and they love what they do, and they love the livelihood, and they love, you know, they can provide for themselves. So there's so much there, Mike, but so much excitement. The listeners, I'm telling you, whatever you listen to, whatever you do, go out and suggest and buy Made in America products. You are making the difference.
Very well said. Dr. Larkin Connolly, how are you doing?
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to our audience. Good morning, Mark and Rich and Henry. Happy New Year, everybody. It's 17 was a very different year than one that we've experienced in a long time. And that's from an economic and probably a geopolitical viewpoint. But from a Made in America viewpoint, we made up a lot of ground. And as I've told you a million times, Michael, I think somewhere along the line, we as a proponent and supporter of the Made in America initiative need to have some sort of barometer that we can point to that shows everybody that we are, in fact, are making up ground in promoting the Made in America brand and everything that comes with good, solid workers and futures and rebuilding families. All of this is related. 2018 is going to be an equally as kind of a different year. I really do predict that. I think geopolitically, the world is in flux. We're trying to figure out what we are and what we're going to be. China is looking at every opportunity they can find to step ahead of us. and become the most powerful nation in the world, or at least the nation that everybody turns to for support in any way, shape, or form. And Africa is completely now, I think, a Chinese colony. It's going to be a very, very interesting year. And the part I intend to play with it is to challenge our panel every week to consider the most important parts of the decisions and comments that we try to promote, and to make sure that we're not going down a trail that doesn't consider the way this world is being affected by the American-made movement. So I'm going to be the antagonist for the entire year, and challenge everybody to legitimately think through everything that we say on this program. Probably won't make me very popular, but I've been unpopular before. The first thing I'm going to say to start out the 2018 year is that I think I've decided to label Rich Loges. Rich is this year not going to be the type of person that you should put on a speakerphone. he speaks from the heart, and it's going to be quite a challenge to hear what he has to say throughout the entire year, and I'm quite frankly looking forward to it with everybody on the panel.
Very
Happy
good.
New Year.
Happy New Year, Larkin. As always, I get
Thanks,
a lot of compliments about you. And how is the weather there in Florida?
Oh, I knew you'd bring that up. Boy, every chance you get. it is, as I spread the slats on my window cover here, it's raining. It's freezing cold. I think it's 44 degrees. We have snow in Jacksonville. It has snowed twice so far. We actually have snow sticking on the ground.
Larkin, if we had 44 degrees, we'd be out in our swimsuits.
Well,
I see that nor'easter almost started by you, though. I'm like, well, Larkin might get something there.
Oh, well, we did, and we're getting paid back in spades. You know, it's all relative, Mark. You're 100% right. What you and Canandaigua County, is it not?
Erie County here, but yeah.
Yep, what you all would pay for 44 degrees.
Yeah. I'll tell you,
you don't put your dog bowl, you know, your dog's water outside. Boom, froze, beer up. You know, it's cold up here. this runs cold.
It's been bone chilling in Philadelphia, like we haven't seen it. But we've seen worse. Maybe 6 years ago, Henry and I were talking about 6 years ago when the Delaware River froze. It's not frozen yet, so that means we probably need another week of real, real brutal weather for that, you know.
Mike, I believe Lake Erie is froze or going to be totally froze this week, which is unheard of for this time already. Very quick, it froze up.
Unbelievable.
And again, it's all relative. I saw a cardinal in the backyard on our feeder. He had a sweater on. It's all wrong. Yeah.
Rich, how is the weather where you are?
Well, you know, Michael, it's Henry. Did I just hear Henry say iguana? Because me and my wife just moved, and last week I come out of the house, get the mail, middle of the day. It was sunny, although I've got some of Larkin's weather now, but it was sunny last week. I come out, and there's this humongous iguana just chilling right on the front lawn. And I thought, you know, that's Florida. You live amongst the wildlife.
It's the welcome committee.
Rich, can you send me a picture of the sun?
I mean, here's the thing that people in the Northeast, Mark, and I used to say this also because I'm a New Yorker originally, 35 years, and I'd always hear these Floridians say, oh, it's 55, it's freezing. And we always used to goof on them until I got here and I realized, wow, you know, if it goes below 60, it's like Antarctica down here. I mean, I feel like we're on an Arctic adventure when it goes below 60. My wife comes out the other day. She looked like she had an Eskimo suit on. I said, where are you going? She said, I just got to go to the grocery store, get a couple things for Isabella. I mean, she looked like she was going on a you know, on like an Alaskan cruise, Mark. So I don't know. Look, one thing that I won't be, Mark, and thank you for that. But one thing, Michael, that I about what you said about me, thank you for that. It's going to be a great year. I really believe that. I do hope that for all of us. I know it. But one thing I promise I won't be is I am not going to be the American Workers Radio weatherman. You know, I know that my background studying Shakespeare and American literature made me a weather climate expert, Mark, but I'm not going to exhibit any of those skills here on the show. I take the George Carlin approach when it comes to the environment. You know, go watch George Carlin online in a skit he gave years ago about environmentalists. And he said the planet existed for billions of years. The planet is fine. It's the people that and I can't say the word because we'll get fined, but I think you'll all figure it out. I'm not going to take that approach, Michael. The bottom line is, right now, I think New Year's Eve was the coldest in a century. And, you know, down here, me and Larkin are all, we're bundled up in Florida because we're hitting the 50s and 60s. So, but that's why you come here, guys. You know, you come to Florida, that's what you come here, Mark. So, and as Larkin pointed out a few weeks ago, financially, we had a pretty good year. We're doing pretty good down here in Florida. So, you know, we got to keep it up, and we all got to stay on the attack this year.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one last thing, Michael, and maybe when Curtis is on, he could pass along a message. Even though it doesn't appear to be official, can someone please try to talk to Willard Romney to not run for the Senate in Utah? Now, look, he can run for – I don't want to take the approach of suppress someone from running. If someone wants to run for office, he or she, as long as meeting the legal requirements, has an absolute right – to run for office. And if Mitt Romney runs and is elected, then he's the legally, democratically elected senator from Utah. You have to go back to Reagan. I think it's going to be even fiercer. We are moving into a period of politics in America where I really think, despite the title of my book, I think the Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative thing, I think that whole paradigm, Michael, I think is over with. And I think the new paradigm moving forward is going to be America first or America last. You know, we're either, you know, we elect officials who are about, it's either America first or the world first. And we have to have a good relationship in the world. That's not suggested by me, and I don't think by anyone here. But that is where our politics are going. Mitt Romney doesn't fit into that. You know, Mitt Romney is not a figure who can effectively sell America first policies, Michael. Mitt Romney is somebody... And please spare me all this country over party crap, because Mitt Romney supported Hillary Clinton. Mitt Romney, of all people, as a two-time presidential candidate and as a nominee, should have known as much as anybody in this country, Mike, that despite his disagreements and dislikes of certain things about candidate Trump, Mitt Romney, of all people, should have known that a Hillary Clinton presidency, I still say to this day, and I've got an article I'm publishing about it coming up, Michael, that a Hillary Clinton presidency would have meant that the Democrats would have never lost the presidency or Supreme Court ever again. It's how America would have become Chicago, where the Democrats have run the city for 30,000 consecutive days.
And, Rich, I want you to know, when you mentioned that...
Don't give me this country over party crap. What Mitt Romney did is he chose his personal pride over country. That's what he did. And so I'm not going to lob the personal insults, because that's not what we do on this show. But please, I implore Curtis and anyone else listening, can we have a conversation with Mr. Romney that he consider maybe, you know, supporting someone who could come in and sell effectively the America First brand of politics? Because that's where it's all going, Michael.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, you know, Rich, as you were mentioning about how many days which party ran different states and cities, they've been discussing that. They heard you talk about that on the radio, and they've been discussing it. People have been bringing it up on other local radio stations. I heard this guy talking about how many days the Democrats ruled or the Republicans ruled or whatever, and it went over very big in our Philadelphia stations. So that's a little bit of a credit to you, because I never heard it before. But this caller called in and said that he heard it on another broadcast, and it had to be you, because no one else has ever said that. You know, guys, I want to ask you something, and this here is something that comes to my attention from time to time, and I may have brought it up once before. I'd like to know, beginning with Larkin, how do you think a two-year cost freeze would work in America on everything that we have in the system? In other words, no price increases, no salary increases, no cost increases from the utility companies. Do you think that would help? It's something somebody had brought to my attention some time ago. I mentioned it. And they start saying the tax reduction is going to do this, but if we could get a cost freeze, maybe that would help us for 2 years to know where we are. I'm going to start off with you, Larkin. What do you think of that idea?
It's an interesting concept, Michael. I've heard it spoken about before. It's in a utopia, it would be great if we could even say, if you are in an income category from zero to 75,000, we can freeze everything so that you can catch up. Here's the big problem with any kind of thought like this, is it really spits in the eye of the backbone of the country. We're a free market society, and anytime you start playing around with prices and wages, you start to queer the policy itself, and it just kind of doesn't function. This is a policy question. Recession and depression, and how you react to these kind of economic situations. I would be very much against any policy that played with the system and the way that it functions.
Okay, very well said. The second reason for the idea is so that we'd be able to cut down on inflation in America and let other countries do whatever they want to do. At least our prices would be somewhat regulated in America, and everybody would know, well, at least my gas is not going to go up, my heating's not going to go up, my electric's not going to go up. We are on sort of an efficiency type program to see where we can go. Mark, so would that help
let me,
you?
Let me just insert something based on what you said. You know, and you're going to hear me say this a lot. I believe in the American-made movement, or I wouldn't be a part of this radio program for the 5 or 6 years that I've been around. It's important that we rebuild our own economy. But you need to understand, we have to survive in a world economy. Our own local economy is important, but I'm telling you right now, we cannot withdraw from a world economy and say, we're not going to be a part of this, because we're going to control our own prices. You're going to hear me criticize anything that ignores the fact that we have to survive in a world economy. I'm going to criticize it to death.
Okay, well said. Well said. A point well taken. And I hope that the people who suggested that to me understand that point of view. I'm going to ask Mark, would that help you in any way?
Yeah, you know, great question. This is a great topic, because I'm going to bring up our minimum wage. You know, again, we've had financial difficulties for 7.5 years. When the Made in America store was founded April 3rd, 2010, remember, I went from a $12 million company to a $5 million. It was 2008, 9, and 10. You know, it was the recession we hit. Things got tough. A lot of businesses went bankrupt. A lot of businesses went out. So we're always fighting. We formed a numbers team since then, and we meet every Thursday, which is a financial team of my own, just to kind of dissect, and understand the disconnects. One reason, Mike, like this minimum wage just got raised again, 70 cents January 1, 2018. It was at 970. It's 1040 as of today. And I want to bring this up because when somebody, if they don't understand business and they just raise things, one thing that scares me, Mike, if you locked everything up, I'd want it to be able to go down. You know, maybe it wasn't negotiated right. Maybe there's wrong numbers in different areas that should not be fixed if they could be better. Because I find that every week in my business. And also, minimum wage going up 70 cents for Mark Andel in our business. We have 80 employees with General Welding and Made in America. That increased my payroll about $20,000 automatically January 1. And in business, you have to sell $50,000 to $100,000 in product, service, or goods in some way. You got to bring that back in. So right away, they made life tougher for me by increasing that. Now, I do like people to get fair wages, and generally most of our people are over the minimum, but not for the retail side. So when they mandate and drive things, Mike, it definitely affects it. I don't know if enough people understand that minimum wage, when you raise it, something has to absorb that additional expense cost. You have to raise the coffee, you have to raise the hamburger, the welding job, the plow, the Made in America product to cover that. Plus, you're already having difficulties. So anything fixed, Mike, I mean, it sounds good. I just worry about, did they ever negotiate? Do they actually know what's being paid? I worry about the government knowing, you know, what it takes to make a dollar. I realize what we go through to make a dollar. A lot of people think busy means making money. It doesn't. You got to really dig in and get all the details out and get what your expenses are, control your expenses, increase the sales. And this year I'm saying we got to grow sales with extreme discipline and care with competent people. That is my goal, and that's what the country has to do.
Very well said. Oh, that's a goal to be, you know, focused upon. Absolutely. Every business, every organization has to focus on cost control.
Extreme discipline means, I mean, if you're selling something, you got to make sure you're making a dollar, or did it cost you more than, you know, what you're selling it for? And if you don't know that, that's why you got to dig in. And over 30 years in business, we're getting smarter and smarter every day. But only difficult times made us smarter.
Now, you know, one of the reasons that people were bringing this, you know, freeze everything for 2 years is because during the campaign last year and even into the new administration, they were talking so much talk about how foreign countries were manipulating their money in order to make their goods lower priced coming on the American market. And I, you know, all these things have to be discussed and have to be presented. I would like to see people in the budget offices, in the city, the state, and the federal government focusing, number one, on buying American made, and also seeing how they can cut the cost so that taxes don't have to continually be raised, because you can't tax yourself into prosperity. It doesn't work like that.
Now, Mike, is it true? I mean, in Obama's 8 years, so our deficit went up $10 trillion.
$10 trillion.
It's incredible.
It doubled the deficit.
$999 billion. $1 trillion. It's incredible.
Because all of the organizations within the government, all of the secretaries, were not capped. In other words, as jobs went down after the vicious recession, as jobs went down, more people had to go on to various federal programs, whether they be unemployment and welfare-related programs. There were more people entering the government handout program. Now, of course, I want to see every working-age and able-bodied person have a job. If someone is sick, elderly, that's a different story. We have to help them. That's what we're all about. But the thing is, getting those jobs back in America is starting to show some blossoming. It's starting to show that we can make progress, and we will make progress. And we can do it if we start focusing more of our attention on the Made in America label, putting our dollars out, even if it's a few more dollars, whether it's on a pair of jeans or a sweater or whatever, to buy the American made and buy less if you have to, but show more compassion for the people working in this country.
And we have to have qualified people working with our money that we send Washington.
And, you know, this is one of the biggest things that people have been saying and complimenting us for. I must say this as we begin our first broadcast of the year. That is one thing that's been lacking across the United States. Our school boards are not focused whatsoever on allowing the business people to tell them what type of graduates they need. This is a disgrace. the supervisors in the school, the counselors in the school, they're focused on every other type of problem, but not what the boy or girl is going to do for their future. No focus on that whatsoever. And I see that myself when I go into job affairs and things. They have no idea. Oh, yeah, that was very nice. My counselor was such a great person. You know, we got along so well. And did he mention about, you know, increasing your availability for the trades or, you know, accounting? You want to be a doctor? Well, there's so many issues in the schools. There's just no focus on it. It has to be some kind of a mandate. We mandate everything in this country. We have to start mandating that our school boards teach boys and girls in junior and senior high school what they're going to need for future jobs in America. I know you're ready to say something, Rich.
Well, Michael, I thank you. And you know, you guys, all of your points here, you mentioned President Obama, Mark, with the deficit, and while it's perhaps odd territory for me to be in a position of somewhat defending President Obama, it is accurate what you said. I've said it on the show before. A lot of that spending was already preset and in place before he took office. However, President Obama, I'm convinced of this, President Obama was president for 96 months times 30 is, how long is that, Michael? 96 months times 30 days, almost 3,000 days. You guys know I like to do things in days, and 4 billion seconds. So 3,000 days of a presidency. I don't think President Obama spent a single second of his 3,000 days as president trying to figure out how to spend less money, fewer taxes. And for that matter, Larkin, I'm not so sure that the vast majority of the GOP didn't spend time trying to figure out how to shrink government. The biggest enemy to free enterprise, Michael, the biggest enemy is big government, period. You know, did we start shunning? This is what I wonder about. I think about this as another research piece, because I'm a Milton Friedman economy guy. You know, Milton, that's not to say I agree with everything, but you go and listen to Milton Friedman's talks, especially in the colleges, where he talks about how the minimum wage actually harms low-skilled workers, a lot of whom are in the poorer cities, the cities I've mentioned we talk about, minority communities. Minimum wage harms those workers. And Milton Friedman, and I'm using this as my own words, who basically says that free market capitalism is the worst system of commerce except for all the others. So when we start talking, Michael, our problem is that we've gotten too much government into business. Big government is the enemy of small business success, Mark. And I think you know that better than anyone else here, honestly. I really do. You actually experienced it. We as a country now, economically, we are experiencing the effects of too much government, and we've also witnessed the effects of reducing the government. Why do people take Ubers and not taxis? I mean, Mark, why would you, you know, Larkin, why would we take, I'm not paid to endorse Uber. I'm just using it as a free market example. When you could take the Uber to the airport in your own private car for 15, 20 bucks, Michael, or take the cab for 50, why is it so much less? The same car, are they using a special gasoline that costs less? Is it a magical potion? No, they put gas in the car the same way you and me do. It's because there's no government in it. It's reduced. Now, there's government there, sure. They have to have regular. I mean, you've got to have consumer oversight. Consumer oversights, Michael, are a very important part of our economy. Very important. I'm not suggesting we do away with it. You know the most underreported business story of 2017? That the president did what he said he was going to do. He was going to start severing regulations. And President Obama, again, it's not fair to always blame everything on one guy, Michael, right? I mean, whether you like Obama or not. It's not fair to do that. It's just not accurate to do that. But you know, President Obama, he had over, you know, almost 100 months to really economically get something going. And yeah, we can cite Republican obstruction, and we can cite this, and we can cite that. But ultimately, all that really matters is the result. It's just the way it is. President Obama had almost 100 months to get America in an economic groove. And what did we do? We grew the government more than every president and administration before him combined.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, some of those things were not his doing.
Rich, you bring up a very interesting point. And I think that the American people should start saying that before a person is qualified to run, they have to tell us how they are going to help reduce costs and reduce government. Let Mitt Romney, as he's preparing, if he's definitely preparing to run for the elected seat, tell us how he's going to help reduce government, reduce taxes, reduce the burden.
Well, I mean, but let me tell you why he's
that should be the media start asking him immediately if he announces.
But he won't. And the reason he's not going to is because, like every gazillionaire, they all benefit from big government. This is why the majority of millionaires and billionaires in the country are Democrats. It's not that the GOP doesn't like to spend. They're addicted to the revenue. But when you talk about capital B big government, the Dems got a monopoly on that stuff. They do. And Romney benefited from that because that's what happens with gazillionaires. They benefit from big government. Gazillionaires always win. That Marxist class warfare battle, Michael, the Dems are losing it.
Rich,
they're losing that battle. They're losing it because small businesses and working families, like Mark pointed out, they're seeing the country trending on the up and up. They see the market doing well. Capital expenditure, you know, I know this from my business, are starting to open up right now. People have a general feeling the country's moving, you know, in the right direction. And that's everything that the president said that he was going to try to do when he ran. Now, did the president benefit? Let's be fair about this point. Did the president benefit as a gazillionaire from big government? Absolutely. He absolutely did. Of course he did.
Which president? Which
so,
president?
So that doesn't change.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was having a hard time following you there, but you're right. Yeah, the president did benefit. No question.
Well, the story is, Rich, if Mr. Romney decides to run for office, you're very well-spoken. Maybe you could write him an email or write his campaign staff an email asking him how he's going to help reduce government. And see what response you get. What's the response going to be, Larkin?
Well, he's going to see that letter from Rich, and it's going to have a Florida postmark on it. He's running for Senate in Utah, and he's going to say, "Jam it. I don't have to answer you."
Well, then email his staff, and they won't be able to trace it that easily.
I understand that. I got to applaud Rich every opportunity that I get. And when you tell me that the national debt crisis that we have right now is not purely Barack Obama's a problem, I applaud you. You are 150% right. I don't know the numbers well enough to be able to absolutely quote them, but I can tell you that as a percentage of the original debt, Bush did as much damage as anybody. And if you hand that kind of debt to another person and say, here you go, we've got, what is it? Where's the debt now, Michael? $3 trillion?
$20 trillion.
$20 trillion. Well, I knew I was close. when you hand somebody $18 trillion or $8 trillion, whatever it was when Bush handed it to them, and say, here, manage this, that's not the simplest thing in the world. I mean, and I laugh oftentimes at the people who just outrageously say, Barack Obama tripled the national debt. You know, it may have tripled under him, and he may not have done legitimately as much as he could have done to have reduced that debt because, listen, Democrats are tax and spend. I don't care what anybody tries to tell you. Democrats are tax, spend, more government. Tax, spend, more government. And it's not good. And Rick is 100% right. Anytime the government gets desperately involved in any operation, you know, I want to start a new business. I want to start a new post office. And I think the government's done such a fantastic job at the post office that I'm going to create one just like that. And if that doesn't work, then I'm going to try Social Security. That, you know, that's another one that the government can really show me how that thing works really great. How about the Department of Education? When they took over as the DOE, we were first and third in science and math, and now we're in the 30s and 40s, almost off the scale. Good job, DOE. Way to get it done.
At Larkin, you can't just print money. They print money because they can. You can't print money and answer a problem. Again, our officials must run our government with extreme discipline, care, with qualified, competent people. They have to take that on. It's not about their self. Somebody has to dig in, and you have to have a businessman. I truly believe.
I believe that, too. All Schumer ever says is the poor middle class. We didn't do anything for the middle class. The middle class. And what are your answers, Chucky? What are you, raise taxes and make the entitlements bigger. You are about as pragmatic as a burnt-down house. I don't understand Schumer, and I don't understand Pelosi. And as long as their leadership keeps on telling us that we got to tax and spend and spend that money on the downtrodden, that's not the answer. That's not going to fix anything for anybody. They need a hand up,
right?
Not a hand out.
And Larkin, you're absolutely right. And, in the last 20 years or 25 years, what has any elected official done to upgrade the middle class? It's the middle class that suffered as the jobs left the USA. It's the middle class had to be degraded because they were on unemployment as their jobs were relocated overseas. They had to then go to welfare programs, disability, whatever, just to stay afloat. Did anybody in government worry about upgrading the middle class? The middle class is what makes this country hum, and yet no discussion of it.
Hey, Mike and guys, would you agree that most people, there's a lot of people that don't work because they don't have to? That want is gone. There's a lot of people with the handouts that could be working, and that I see that in our generations where the kids are different because it used to be you have to. Now it's I don't want to, and there's a difference with these safety nets.
Yes, absolutely. The safety net has created a lot of problem. The Europeans that come by to visit the cultural center here, they will always talk about, Bruce tells us what they do in Britain and they do in other Eastern European countries. The young people during their high school years have to go out and into the industries or to the offices to see if they're really going to be that when they graduate. This is something that we're lacking in America. That example is bad. Just educate a person,
absolutely,
get him out the door, give him a sheepskin and hope for the best. This is no good. We have to do something to change that entire culture because the middle class is the best, way of us keeping America's industries going. And when I say industries, every industry has a manager. They have a person who buys the products. They have a research and development. They have a bookkeeper. They have a timekeeper. Everything has to have several levels of people to make an industry go. Mark, you have how many people in every category, from bookkeeper, salespeople? Well, every industry needs that. And yet our national leaders feel, the industry relocated overseas. That's, the way it is in the world today.
80 people, Mike, we have, and we work as one team. Arrogance, entitlement, we run out. You can't be about yourself. You can't be a lone ranger. You got to work as a team, and that's what this country needs. You can't have one side totally right, the other side totally right. I'll tell you, though, with skilled trades, we are making a difference. I had all the counselors in. We had the teachers in. We're finding the disconnects. It's happening, not fast enough. But if you want a quality wage, you need to build a quality product in your own country and sell it.
You're right. And, Mark, this is the most disappointing thing that I hear. In Pennsylvania, in Bucks County, we have the Bucks County Tech School, which is, very well respected. We have maybe one or two others that are very well done. The problem is where there are three now where there used to be 30 of these types of classes and schools. They're reduced down to three. That's where the problem is, because we're not graduating people that are ready to enter, go into heating and air conditioning, to go into the various trades. And without the trades, the industries suffer.
Yeah, and you know, I was getting these younger people. I was just talking to my operations manager and my weld manager yesterday. It just takes so much longer time to train our guys, and they're good people, the young ones that come. I've got a couple of Marines. I got a Marine farmer, someone that just got out of the Marines that farmed with farm work ethic. Unbelievable work ethic, but it takes so much longer to train a person now, and we wondered why. Well, they don't have the metal shops, the wood shops. They don't know the basics, so we're starting from scratch with a good person that wants to learn, but it does take so much longer than, say, 20, 30 years ago. You could find people off the street that had the skills to get you going quicker.
And you're right. And Larkin, you know yourself from watching the various school districts. There where they had all of these trade programs 15, 20, 25 years ago, they're all gone. Why? Who was the person that says, we will no longer need the trades in America?
Well, they did it for budgetary reasons. But I'm going to add something to this conversation that I think is going to raise a couple of eyebrows, because it's a stretch. And I'm not trying to be radical about this, but I really stop and think about it and scratch my head. The recent flurry of states approving recreational marijuana. Now, I've never smoked marijuana.
Are you sure?
I was waiting for Rogers to jump.
I always think of Rich saying that guy sitting up on that gated community with that high newbie.
Because I got high.
Because
I got
mine.
High. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I thought Rich was going to chime in and say, wait a minute, the last time we flew to Philly together. No, that's not true. But there's a reason. To me, why? There's got to be a cause or a reason for everything that happens. And the only two things that I can think of that would support legalizing marijuana, which I've mentioned, by the way, in the hood takes away their cottage industry. You know, if it's legal,
right.
the families that are still sticking together, the few that are there, you know, now they don't even have that little black market industry. They're going to have to go find something else. Illicit or
illegal,
hopefully, to do. But it's passing for what? Somebody give me another reason other than they get more tax revenue.
That's the only reason, Larkin. That's the only reason.
Larkin, did you see the show last night on Colorado and on the marijuana growth? And even the profit, I think. Everybody was talking with this marijuana. You're dead on, though, but keep going.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is I am thoroughly convinced that this is a movement to keep the unemployed, the underprivileged, the undereducated, and the ignored portion of our country happy and on the porches. Because you know what? Pretty soon, they're going to be giving this stuff away. And all they're trying to do, and that's a reach. That is a far reach. But somewhere along the line, is marijuana more deadly or destructive than liquor? No.
Not
at all. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's a substance that, you know, I've always said to my sons, the first time I can see two guys smoking marijuana on the corner, smoking a little ganja on the corner, say to each other, hey, listen, after we're done with this tie stick here, why don't we go out and start a business? Then I'm all for marijuana. I mean,
you're going to start a rumor now, Larkin.
Right.
I don't know, Larkin. There is the music business.
Well,
Jimi Hendrix would disagree with that.
The music business is
don't tell Paul McCartney that.
I'll tell you why it succeeds in the music business, because listen, I wrote a song. It was a country western song. The last time my eyes were going in a different direction, but it raises your creative juices. There's no question. I don't argue that. It puts you in a place where music is primarily what you hear. You know that. Come on, Henry. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know.
I'm not speaking from experience, Larkin. I'm just talking about history here.
Well, all I'm telling you is that the government has a tendency to do anything that makes the electorate happy, that makes them content, that makes them not want to...
It's the Colosseum effect.
Create an uprising. You know, how do you keep them happy? Ah, keep them down on the farm and keep them stoned.
Sure. And they have them in the Colosseum and feed the lions and tigers and everybody is happy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear, another great hour of conversation has been before us. I want to say, first of all, thank you for spreading the word about our broadcast. We do our best to keep it light and interesting. I'm going to ask all of you to go out and support all of your small businesses this weekend, because the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month is National Small Business Weekend. And please do look for those American-made labels. That's how we're going to change America, by complimenting our businesses that are highlighting the fact that they are made in America. They see that there is more sales, more interest, things are happening for the better. Let's continue to make them happen. Well, let's have some closing remarks, beginning with Rich.
Way to kick off the year, guys, and get ready for what I hope, Michael, is going to be a big announcement that I've got in a couple weeks. I'm going to tease that, and stay tuned, guys, on everything I'm working on. Thank you, as always, to our listeners.
Very good. And Larkin?
Yes, I agree, Rich. It was a great start to a new year. Listen, we're all here because we want to increase the made in America. We want to grow businesses. We want to start businesses in this country and become a self-sustaining economy. But it's got to be right. You know, you can't start a business in the wrong atmosphere. So let's keep on talking about everything.
God bless. And Dr. Mark.
Yeah, made in America matters, guys. We got to stay fired up. It can make the difference we need. And a great show, guys. Great to have you back together. Great to be a part of it. Thank you, Mike, for bringing us all together every week. And Henry.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Henry. Thank you for spreading the word. If you get a copy of the rebroadcast this afternoon, please do email it out to family members and friends. And don't forget, this is National Small Business Weekend until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11. Best wishes to all of you. Stay warm, stay well, and be happy.